Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, a teacher with LSAT Demon. That's Nathan Fox, one of the founders of LSATdemon.com. We have an email here from Jono.
Jono says, interestingly, you advised to read the passage before the questions, as I find myself reading the question before the argument, just so I know what I'm looking for. Okay. I read assumption arguments different than I read parallel reasoning. In assumption, I'm looking for the missing key. In parallel, I'm looking for the structure and method. So in this case, wouldn't you say it's better to read the question first? I would absolutely not say that it is better to read the question first.
Yeah, I got a question. If you're looking for the quote-unquote missing key in assumption questions, can you find that without also understanding what the method of reasoning is or what the structure is? I don't think you can. It's the same analysis.
Yeah, you have to attack the argument. And by attacking the argument, so even on parallel reasoning questions, by attacking the argument, you're going to get the argument's structure and method. You know, there's actually many things going on with this email that I think are wrong or misguided. And it's not your fault, Jono. You probably learned this from some other prep company, but reading the argument first is just, or sorry, reading the question first is just not the demon way. You're not really going to know what you're looking for. We're always looking for the same thing, which is, does this argument make sense or not? On a parallel reasoning question, they might tell you that there's a flaw. We call that a parallel flaw question. They might not tell you that there's a flaw, which we would call a parallel reasoning question, but we still don't know whether there's a flaw. And if there is a flaw, then we really want to treat that question like a parallel flaw question where we match the flaw, even if they didn't explicitly tell you that.
I was working with this is really important. I was working with a tutoring student today where we did a parallel reasoning question. The question made no mention of a flaw, but it was not a good argument.
Yeah.
And if you went in with this idea that they were asking for a parallel reasoning question and that you didn't need to worry about finding a flaw, you might not have seen the very interesting and specific way that it just wasn't a good argument. And understanding that flaw helped to find the correct answer because we found an answer choice where it was not a very good argument in the same way as the original was not a good argument.
Yeah. If all you're focusing on is structure and method without considering whether the argument is actually good or bad, then you can end up looking. Well, I think what people do who think they're looking for the structure and method, they're just going to kind of like match terms. So it's like, oh, well, it said most, so I'm looking for a most. And then it said never, so I'm looking for a never. And that can work sometimes, but it can only get you so far. There are tons of parallel reasoning questions where the arguments look superficially similar until you realize that one of them confused sufficient for necessary and the other one didn't. What if there's not a flaw in the given argument, but then there could be two answer choices that look exactly the same, and one of those answer choices confuses sufficient for necessary?
Mm-hmm.
So like you needed to have that moment where you read the argument and you went, oh, it's actually a valid argument. Now I'm going to go find a valid matching argument rather than, oh, it just, you know, for example, oh, it uses conditional reasoning. Well, no shit. All of the answer choices are probably going to use conditional reasoning.
Right. Other ways that reading the question first could be harmful?
I think it distracts you from the number one operation on all logical reasoning questions, which is simply understand what you're reading. You don't need to get to the question and God forbid the answer choices to just understand what you're reading in the passage itself in the first place. If you go in thinking like, well, I'm looking for an assumption or I'm looking for the structure and method, how does that help you understand what's in that argument? Most of the time, the arguments are going to be bad. You need to say why they're bad. And then even if it does turn out to be parallel reasoning, you can go match an argument that you need to have like a similar reaction to the answer as you do to the given argument. Another way that it could hurt you is say it's a strengthen question. sometimes students think, well, it's a strengthening question. So, you know, I'm just going to be sympathetic to the argument and go in and find an answer that helps this argument. Yeah, but if you didn't attack the argument in the first place, you don't even know what's wrong with the argument. You can't make it better if you don't know what's wrong with it.
Another one I'll throw out there is pretty simple main point questions or conclusion questions. You think, oh, I got to find the conclusion, so I'm just going to start looking for conclusion indicators. And
then you miss a question where there aren't any conclusion indicators at all. Sometimes there are no premise or conclusion indicators at all in an argument. So you're not going to find what you're looking for in that case. In other cases, you might just try to short circuit take a shortcut and look for the thus, and anything that follows the thus, you're like, that's the conclusion of the argument. And you don't even really read the argument. Well, that's not going to work, because sometimes they might have used thus in front of an intermediate conclusion and then not used any introductory conclusion indicators like that before the ultimate main conclusion of the argument. Or the main conclusion of the argument doesn't even need to be stated. It can be something where they just gave you a bunch of facts and then there's a conclusion that's implied that they didn't actually say.
Yeah, sometimes that's that fill in the blank.
On a fill in the blank question, you're going to find out what type of question it is at the end of the argument. Right before the blank, they're going to tell you whether they're looking for a conclusion or something that must be true, or they're looking for a strengthener, because they will use the indicators there as part of that sentence to tell you whether it's a conclusion or whether it's a must be true or a strengthening question. So yeah, if you read the fill in the blank, all it's going to say is which one of the following most logically completes the statement above.
Right.
And you have no idea whether the argument itself was fishing for evidence or fishing for a conclusion or anything, something that must be true.
I think that's key, is that you can frequently predict what the question will be just by reading the argument, just by reading
the passage. Yeah, like paradox questions. You read the argument and you realize, hey, this is kind of all this is just some facts that don't seem like they should be true at the same time. You can like 95% of the time predict, oh, okay, it's going to be a paradox question. Sure enough.
Must be trues and supported questions, because it's just a bunch of facts and you got to put them together.
You can predict that question is coming. Yeah.
Yep.
Another problem that I have with reading the question first, what about like the role variant of a reasoning question? So when it says, when the question says, which one of the following is the role played in the argument by the phrase, and then they give you this whole phrase, and then which you haven't read yet because you haven't read the argument. So you have no idea what it is. It's just some weird words where you're like, whoa, they're going to make that claim apparently. And then they're asking you to identify what role that plays within the argument. But you have no possible way of answering that question. All it is unfamiliar language to you, because you have to read the entire argument to know what role was played by that. I would worry that you could read something and you're like, oh, well, it's obviously going to be the conclusion. You don't know that. You haven't read, the argument yet. So and in the meantime, all it does is it confuses you. Because, you know, it's like they're asking you a question that you just literally can't answer.
Yeah.
Consider this. You can frequently answer the question that they haven't even asked yet just after reading the passage itself or the argument itself. You'll have a great idea what the answer to the question is going to be, because you can predict the question. So, you know, you can predict it's a paradox question. You probably already have a solution to the paradox in your head.
How many times do you have the question answered before you even finish reading the argument?
Just while you're reading the argument. Absolutely.
Because you can see the flaw coming from a 100%. Mile away.
Yeah. No, you catch them on their flaws. You catch them on their bullshit. You catch the missing pieces. Mm-hmm. And you can't go in like looking for an assumption, looking for a missing piece, or looking to strengthen or looking to weaken or looking to describe the role played in the argument by some phrase that you've never seen before. You just don't know until you attack that argument. So yeah, it's core to the DMAP philosophy. Sorry for being real long-winded on this, but we have a lot to say about it.
No, it's important. And it's also, I think I've told you this before, it's the key thing that actually turned me onto the DMAP. Okay. I started with a different prep company.
And you were reading the question first.
And it always bugged me that they said, read the question first, because I just instinctively felt like that I didn't need to do that. And it felt confusing to me. And I found your podcast and I heard you guys say, don't do that. I'm like, they get it.
It's fundamentally antithetical to the way we do logical reasoning. Like if you want to read the question first, then I think you just don't want to study with the demon, honestly. But I would encourage you to give it a try our way for a week or two. And I promise you, you'll find that it's easier.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say on this is give yourself more credit. I think reading the question first and describing it in the way that you do, Jono, and it's not to pick on you, this is everybody, feeling like you need some sort of jump start into how you're supposed to read the passage, as if you won't learn everything you need to learn from just reading it on its own first. Like you need some sort of clue before you go in. Give yourself more credit. You can absolutely understand it without a gimmick or a clue if you just slow down and read it carefully and think critically about it as you read. And you absolutely can.
Read every question as if it's going to be a weekend question, basically.
Sure.
Read that passage going, well, okay, if there's an argument here, it's probably bullshit. If they don't make an argument, then fine, I'll reassess. But if there's an argument here, I'm going to plan on it being incomplete or outright flawed and just attack every passage that way. You don't need this shortcut, the crutch of thinking that you're helping yourself by reading the question first.
Yep.
Thanks
for the email.
Yeah, email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.